Our sermon today picks up from the psalm that we heard earlier. This is Psalm 78, verses 11 through 19. They forgot what God had done and the miracles that he had shown them. In the sight of their ancestors, he worked miracles in the land of Egypt, in the fields of Zoan. He divided the sea and let them pass through it, and made the waters stand like a heap. In the daytime, he led them with a cloud, and all night long with a fiery light. He split rocks open in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly as from the deep. He made streams come out of the rock and caused waters to flow down like rivers. Yet they sinned still more against him, rebelling against the Most High in the desert. They tested God in their heart by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, saying, "Can God spread a table in the wilderness? Even though he struck the rock so that the water gushed and torrents overflowed, can he also give bread or provide meat for his people?" Thank you, God, for helping us remember all the wonderful works you have done for us. We members of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ are often called the people of the table, as we noted in the communion meditation. Every time disciples come together, they have communion. It may be with bread and grape juice. It may be with Oreo cookies and chocolate milk at a disciples' church camp. It may be with water and tortillas. It may be during a worship. It may be after a board meeting. It may be at the closing of church camp. But we always come to the table because the table is where we rejoice and celebrate. The table is where we set our hopes in God and receive Christ's strength and power. The table is where we remember. It's important for us to remember what God has done for us. It's important to reflect on the undeserved but freely given blessings God bestows on us. We come to the table to remember because we know how easy it would be to forget about how God has provided for us in the past. That's what the psalm we heard today is all about, how quickly we can forget. How easy it would be to let our faith falter and our hopes dim and find ourselves falling into cynicism and despair, becoming, like the people described in the psalm, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. People who actually dared dispute God's power and goodness, people who actually had the audacity to ask, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness?" The psalmist listed all the mighty things God had already done for the people as they trudged through the desert, dividing the sea so they could cross over it without even getting their feet wet, leading them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, giving them water from out of rocks. But all that wasn't enough. They wanted more. They wanted what they had in Egypt. They practiced what's often called selective memory. They only remembered the good things as if there was anything good in their lives as slaves. They forgot about their hard bondage, about their grievous toil and backbreaking labor, about the vicious whips and unkind overlords. They remembered the food, how good and fresh it was. In reality, they probably didn't get very much to eat, just enough to get by. But in their warped memories, they feasted well. In the desert, now free, they looked at the manna God graciously sent them and sneered at it. They were given an abundance of the food of angels, the grain of heaven, and they scoffed. They wanted better food. They wanted something with oomph, something they could sink their teeth into. "Okay," they said. "Sure," they said, "God had provided water from the rock. We'll give God some kudos for that. But we want bread and real meat, not manna, meat. Can God do that? Can God make a feast for us like we used to have in Egypt? We're in a desert. What can God do for us out here?" How it must have grieved God's heart to hear their challenge and their derision and their ingratitude. What more could God do for them? Actually, the psalmist describes just how God was feeling, and God was mad. A fire was kindled against the descendants of Jacob. God's anger mounted against Israel because they had no faith in God and did not trust God's saving power. They did not believe in God's wonders. They did not keep in mind God's power or recall the day when God redeemed them from their foes. when God displayed impressive signs in Egypt, meaning the 10 plagues that ravaged the Egyptians, they turned their back on God. It was only after God struck some of them down that they relented and repented and sought God earnestly. Well, maybe not so earnestly. They flattered God with their mouths and lied to God with their tongues. They were trying to play God, to coerce God into giving them what they wanted and what they thought they needed, instead of relying on God and trusting God to send them what God knew they needed. They thought the reason God didn't give them what they wanted was because God couldn't, that it was beyond God's power to grant their wants and wishes. Instead of trusting God to set a table in the wilderness before them full of all the things they needed, they decided it was impossible, and so they turned away from God. They rebelled against God. Lack of faith is rebellion. It would have been so easy for God to abandon them in turn, but God was compassionate. God is always compassionate. It's an integral attribute of God, one God can't set aside. God is love and compassion. And so God forgave their iniquity and restrained his anger against them and did not stir up all his wrath. God knew what they were, a wind that passes and does not come again. And so contrary to their stubborn belief that God wouldn't, God indeed prepared a table in the wilderness for them, a table full of all the good things that come from God. Not just food, not only food, but all the things they needed. Hope, yes, that was on the table. Salvation, yes, that was there too. And a big heaping platter of love. We all have our wilderness moments when we look around and convince ourselves there's nothing out there. Nothing we need is forthcoming, no comfort, no sustenance, no reason to keep going and hoping. We all have our wilderness moments, times of dryness, of dearth and despair. Yet when we open our eyes, when we turn in desperation and trust to God, and who else can we turn to? All of a sudden we see it, a table in the wilderness, a place where we can get our fill of everything we need and want. Faith? Yes, that's on the table. Strength? Yes, that's there too. And a big heaping platter of love. That's God's best recipe. Love is what God is always preparing for the people who come to the table. Love freely available to all and everyone. And no one is turned away from God's table. No one who hungers or thirsts for all the good things of God are sent away unsatisfied. It's an amazing, wonderful paradox that the more we eat and drink at the table of God, the more there is, not just for us, but for everyone. We need to seek that table in the wilderness, a place where we can find nourishment and refreshment for the trials that lie ahead of us. We need to have free and open access to the provisions of God. We need to welcome more people to the table so that they too can travel into the promised land with joy and satisfaction, strong and ready for the next adventure God places before us. May we never ever doubt that God can provide for us whatever we want and need. May we never ever forget about the marvelous works God has done for us. And may we always and ever be ready to come to the table in the wilderness with thanksgiving, with gratitude, with love, to feast, remember, and celebrate. Can God provide a table in the wilderness? Yes, God can, and yes, God will. Let us pray. God, please forgive us for all those times when we doubt you and challenge you, forgetting your grace and goodness. Forgive us for all those times when we look around and see nothing but desert, instead of relying on you to provide us with everything we need. May we always keep in the forefront of our minds the bountiful and beautiful table you have prepared for us, a table presided over by our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
A crown of thorns placed on his head. He knew that he would soon be dead. He said, "Did you forget me, Father, did you?" They nailed him to a wooden cross. Soon all the world would feel the loss of Christ. the King before his hallelujah. Then lifted his face up to the sky, said, I am coming home now, Father, to you. A reed which held his final sip was gently lifted to his lips. He drank his last and gave his soul to glory. Truly, this is Jesus Christ, our Savior. He looked with fear upon his sword, then turned to face his Christ and Lord, fell to his knees, crying, Hallelujah! Hallelujah! From his head the thorny crown, and wrapped him in a linen gown, and laid him down to rest inside the tomb. The holes in his hands, his feet, and side, now in a heart, we know he died to save us from ourselves. Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. 3 days went by, again they came to move the stone, to bless the slain with oil and spice, anointing, hallelujah. But as they went to move the stone, they saw that they were not alone, but Jesus Christ has risen, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.